Begin the current daf, Masech Deba Metzia, daf Kav Gimel. Begin 4 lines down for the top of the Yomid. The Gemara continues in a related discussion from the previous daf. That is, in general, the Gemara was discussing regarding the disputes between the landlord and the tenants, and specifically regarding the payments, where the tenant said he paid the rate, the landlord said he didn't pay, and the ramifications of their dispute. The Gemara continues in a related discussion regarding such a type of a dispute. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman. Regarding someone who leased out his house to his friend for a period of 10 years. Now the landlord, the owner, wrote to the tenant, to the renter, he wrote from a shtara, a document that he's leasing the house for him for 10 years, but there was no date written on the document itself. And at a later point in time, he comes in front of the courts, in front of Beis Din, and he says, Nikitas Chamishnin, he says, you already had the house for 5 years, you got 5 more years left. Whereas the tenant says, what are you talking about? I only lived in it for 3 years, I have another 7 years left. So says Rav Nachman Mehemen, the landlord, the homeowner, is believed because of, as we mentioned in the previous daf, of the halachas of chazaka, karka becheskes balei medes, who's the presumptive rights of this house? Who's the owner that has the chazaka? We don't know now, later on, how many years more does he have left? So the chazaka, who's the muchzik on that house, is the owner. And therefore, any doubt that comes to us, we say that the landowner is going to be believed based on his chazaka, and therefore he's only going to have another 5 years left, not another 7 years left on the lease. That was Rav Nachman's halacha. On that, Omali Rav Acha Medifti L'Ravina. So Rav Acha Medifti asked the following question to Ravina. It says, El Miyata, if that's the case, we have a document, and the landowner, the landlord, is believed to say, no, there's only that amount of years left. If that's the case, then if a guy lent a person 100 zuz, and he wrote him a document, and then the borrower comes and says, I paid you already half. You think he's going to be believed? No, because the other guy's holding a document. So here too, how could the landowner be believed, the landlord, to say, oh, you're holding a document for 10 years? Oh, you already, I already gave you half of it already. You already lived there for 5 years. What do you mean? He's holding a document. Here also, this guy's holding a document. He's not believed. The other guy's not believed to say, oh, I already paid you half. I'm holding the document. The guy who's holding the document has the stronger upper hand. How could you say that here the landlord, who's not holding the document, can just make away with half the years and say, oh, you already lived there for 5 years? So Malaysia Ravina responded to Rav Acha Medifti, says, Hachi Hashta? Can you compare the two cases of a borrower with that the lender is holding a document, and here where the landlord gave a document to the tenant? Hasam Shtar Lugavainakai. The document that a borrower writes for a lender is for the lender's holding the purposes of that document is to be able to collect with it. So im Isa de Pari, if it was true like you're conceptualizing where the tenant, the bar would say, oh, I paid you up half already, if he paid, then they should have written on that loan document, should have written somewhere there in the fine print, he already paid up half. Or inami michtiv alav tavar, or even if you weren't going to tamper with the actual loan document itself, but the lender should have written a, from the word tavar is the word of broken, breaking, meaning to say that it's a receipt which breaks that original document to some extent, that to show that he already paid up half. So therefore, of course, if the guy, the lender's holding a document, the borrower is not believed to say he paid up any of it. But that's because that document is a shtar legevina. Avalhacha amar le, but here, the landowner, the landlord can tell the tenant, haydech sivalach shtar, this that I wrote for your document, don't get all excited that you have a document and that gives you the upper hand. That was kihecha delay tichsikala. That was only that you shouldn't take possession of my land. Because if there's no document, you're going to say, I bought it. And after 3 years of a guy's on the field, we assume that it's his. So the reason why I wrote your document was just to prove actually that you only have it for this many years because you are renting it. Not that you could say, well, I have the document, I have the upper hand, I could say when the 10 years start or when it ends. That's not true. I'm the landlord, I'm the muchzik, I say you already lived the 5 years, and like Rav Nachman says, he only has another 5 years, not another 7 years. And the fact that he has a document was actually not for his benefit, it was actually to his detriment, in the sense, for the benefit of the landlord, so that the guy shouldn't claim that he bought it, and it could prove that it was there just in the form of a lease. I'm Rav Nachman. Another halacha from Rav Nachman, and related on this topic. Shail adam bituvay li'aylam. A person who borrows bituvay in its goodness, in its utility, that loan is forever. In other words, if someone sees that his friend has a certain tool or a certain utensil, and he says, lend it to me bituvay. And the lender says, Yeah, sure, no problem. That loan is forever. Meaning, as long as that tool is fit to be used in its form of its work, that is as long as the loan lasts. Because the word betuvah sounds like as long as it's tuvah, as long as it's good. So even if the borrower returns it, he can go back and take it as long as he wants to, because the loan is for as long as the object is betuvah. Now, Amar Rav Mori Bereid Bashmul, he says, but vahu the kanimine. That's only if the borrower had made an actual special kinyan, an acquisition from the owner. Because if he didn't make a special kinyan, then from the first time that he gives it back from the first loan, then that kinyan has already stopped when he gave it back, and he can't take it back even if it's still betuvah. Now, Amar Rav Mori Bereid Ravashi, he says, umahadale kate. However, if let's say this guy borrowed it, now he could keep it for as long as he wants to, the loan is betuvah, but if it got ruined, that it's not fit to be used in its regular way anymore, then what he does, he gives back the broken pieces of that tool, because the owner didn't gift it to him. It was just a loan as long as it's betuvah. Now that it's not good anymore because it got broken, so he gives him back the broken pieces and he gives it back to him, and then the loan is over. Similarly, Amar Rava says, "Hai man da amalei lechavri." If someone tells his friend, "Ushlan mara lemirpak bay hai pardisa," lend me a hoe, certain digging type of a tool, to dig this orchard. Now, rapik bay hahu pardisa. So he said it's for this orchard. So then he goes and he digs it in that orchard. Let's say he said pardisa. He didn't say this pardis. He says, "I want to borrow your tool for an orchard." So rapik bay. So he didn't say which specifically, but he used a singular term. So he could dig one orchard, but kol pardisa de bayit, whatever orchard he wants to choose. He didn't say which one. Even as Rashi says, as big as Antiochia, which is a huge city, even if that's how big the orchard is, he could do it because he didn't say which orchard. Now, let's say he said, "I want to borrow your tool for pardisi," which is the plural of orchards. Then rapik va'azl kol pardisi de isli. Then he could go ahead and use it to dig in as many orchards as he has. In other words, the chiddush in this is that we don't say that the minimum of plural is two, that he could only dig in two orchards. No, he could dig as many as he wants to. The plural is as many orchards as he wants. And then the mahadle kate, then again, then he gives him back just the handle when the tool is already broken up and done with. Then when that's done, then he gives him back the broken tool. Now, Amra Papa, he says, similarly, "Hai man da amalei lechavri." Someone tells his friend, "Ushlan, lend me hai gargusa." The fresh water that you have, this fountain that you have in your yard, that I could use it to water my fields, a spring of water, v'nafla. And then that spring that he borrowed from that friend actually caved in. So, says Rav Papa, loy banila. In other words, if let's say the borrower wants to go ahead and build that spring, to say that, okay, I want you to be able to, you lent me the spring so I could continue using it, the owner could stop him and say, "No, I only lent you that spring, but not when it becomes another spring. The fact that it fell in, it collapsed, and you're going to rebuild it, that's going to make it into a new spring. You're digging it up again fresh. I didn't lend you. I only lent you that one." Now, let's say he says gargusa. He didn't say that gargusa. He says, "I want to borrow from you a spring." The nafla caved in, then banila. Then it's considered loaned to him until he goes and waters all his fields, because he didn't say this one. He says a singular. So he can go ahead and dig it up because he could borrow any one spring from him. Let's say he said begargusa. He said in those words, "I want you to lend me begargusa," which means to say, "I want you to lend me a place where I could dig a well from your fields to use to water." So then, kari va'azl kamer gargusi ba'aris. He can go ahead and dig as many wells as he wants to in that guy's field. In other words, if he doesn't find by digging up over here, he can go dig in another place. Adimis ramali, until he finds a well that he bumps into that he could use. But says Rav Papa, v'tzarich lemiknimene. However, he has to make a special acquisition originally from the owner. Because if he didn't make a kinyan from him, then he's just telling him words, and the owner could retract. But once he makes the kinyan, then the guy could dig up his guy's whole field until he finds a well in his field. Now the Gemara continues with the next and final Mishnah of this parak. Also continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, is of a masker bais l'chaver. Someone rents a house to his friend, and this Mishnah says v'nafel, and then the house that he was renting collapses. So says the Mishnah, Chayv Lahamid Lebayis. So the landlord has to provide for him a new house for the period, for the duration of his rental period. Now, Hayukatan, if let's say the house that he was renting was small, Lo Yasenu Gadol, he shouldn't rebuild it now large. Gadol Lo Yasenu Katan, if it was large, he shouldn't go ahead and make it small. In other words, the tenant could stop him and says, no, I don't want a large house, or I don't want a small house, I want the one that I was having up until now. If it was Echad, Lo Yasenu Shnayim, if it was one house, now the landlord who's rebuilding it cannot make it into two houses. Shnayim, Lo Yasenu Echad, if it was two, he can't make it into one. Lo Yifchis Menach Aleinus, Lo Yasev Aleim, he's not allowed to make less windows now, he's not allowed to make more windows. Unless it was the consent of both the landlord and the tenant, then if they both agree, then he could go ahead and change what it was before it collapsed. Now the Gemara asked in Allah of Mishnah, what's the case talking about? And that is, if originally when they made the contract, the landlord said to the tenant, I'm renting you this house. But then in that case, Nafal, if it collapsed, if the building fell down, then Azulay, then actually he could get rid of the tenant because it's the tenant's mazel, because he said this house. Now the house collapsed, there's no more this house. So why does the Mishnah then say that he's Chayv L'Hamid L'Bayis, has to rebuild for him a new house? And Idam L'Bayis Tam, and if he told him, I'm renting you a house, I'm going to lease you a house, but he didn't say this house. So Echad Amai Lo Yasenu Shnayim, then why, when he said that I'm leasing you, when it said that it was one house, he's now rebuild it as two houses, Katan Amai Lo Yasenu Gadol, why if it was small, he could not make it big, he could do whatever he wants, because he just said, I'm going to lease you a house, an apartment. He didn't say originally what size, that's what he had then, so he gave him. Now that it collapsed, he can go ahead and give him whatever he wants to. Why can't you change that? So Amar Shlokesh, he says, the Amalei is because when originally the landlord had told the tenant, Bayishani Maskelach, the house that I'm leasing you, midas arka kach v'kach, he gave him the dimensions, this is the length, and he said specifically, so that's why it has to be exactly as it was. Since it was small, then he can't make it bigger. Since it was one, he can't make it into two. Now the Gemara asks, Ihachi might remember, but if that's the case, then what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Of course he can't go ahead and change it, because that was the contract that he said it has to have those specific measurements. So El Rather says the Gemara, Ki Asa Rav, when Ravin came, Amar Shlokesh, he clarified this halacha of Shlokesh that it was the Amarlei. It's where the landlord told the tenant, Bayis Kezeh Ani Maskelach. He says, see that house? A house like this, I'm going to lease for you. Now, so the Gemara says, Katim Ma'ala Memra. Still, what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? If he said like this, it means like this, which means the exact dimension. So of course he can't change it now when he has to rebuild it for him. That the Gemara says, Loi, no, Tzricha was necessary to say, because the Koya Gudid in Ahara, the house that this guy was renting, was on the waterfront. Ma'ad the Tema Ma'ika Zeh, you would think to say, what did the landlord mean when he said like this? The Koya Gudid in Ahara, he meant specifically regards to the fact that it'll be a waterfront property, which is very chashiv. And that's what he had specified and stipulated with him. Because that's what people are very particular about. They want this, they want that. But regarding the specific and exact length and width, that he didn't stipulate. That's not what he meant when he said something like this. That's what the Mishnah is teaching. That no, when if he said kezeh, it meant exactly like this, which is not just the waterfront part, but even the aspect of the exact dimensions. And that's why the Mishnah said that he can't change it from small to big or big to small, and so on and so forth. Hanulach Hashayom, we shall return to you to the 8th Perek of Masechet Bava Metzia, Perek Hashayom. And with that, we begin the 9th Perek of Masechet Bava Metzia, Perek HaMakabel, which continues with a related type of a discussion, which we had been speaking about Hashayom, a borrower. We were speaking about the four types of Shayim, and then we spoke about a Seicher, someone that rents. We were speaking about someone that rents a house. Now we talk about someone that has this contractual agreement, which is called HaMakabel Sodom Echaver. If someone receives, which is commonly known as the word Kablonis, some type of an employer, but not a guy who's getting paid for the hour, but rather he takes responsibility renting, so to speak, this field from his friend. Now there's two ways of kablonis. Generally, that term refers to arisis, which is when a person is the worker for the field, and he gets a half or a third or a quarter of the profits, and the rest goes to the owner. Or there's actually what is included in the term for our Mishnah opening up over here of Makabel is Chachirois, which is that actually all the profits of the produce goes to this worker, the guy who's renting the field, and then he pays a certain amount of kor or money, certain amount of set amount of produce or money to the owner, and he pays him for that rental that he has of the field. But either way, explains the Mishnah that there are certain customs that people have regarding when a person is working in someone else's field, that he's renting the field, And again, either that he's giving a part of the profits to the owner as a sharecropper, or he's taking all the profits for himself, but he's giving a certain set amount of money or produce to the owner. Says the Mishnah, Makom shenogu liktzar yiktzar. If the custom of the place is that the way they work the fields is that they reap it, which means to say that you don't uproot the what grew as the produce from the ground, rather you cut it like with a sickle, so then yiktzar, that's the way you should do it, you should cut it. Lak or yakr, if the custom is to uproot it, and that's how you take out the produce, then you have to uproot it. Let's say the custom is lachrish achra, that after the reaping or the uprooting, whatever the custom is, let's say the custom was to turn over the roots of the bad, of the weeds, of the bad grass that's in the field so that they should die and they shouldn't go ahead and sprout again when they replant the next season. So yachrish, if that's the custom, then he has to go ahead after he finishes work in the field, then plow the field. Says the Mishnah, kol kemineg ha-medina. The main idea is, everything is according to the custom of that country, of that location. Moreover, continues the Mishnah, Kashem Shechelkim B'Tfuah, just like, let's say, as Rashi will explain at the end of the Mishnah, this is Toma specifically regarding the sharecropper. Where the sharecropper, he shares the produce with the owner that he's renting the field from. So Kachelkim B'Tav and the Bakash. So not only do they share the produce, they also share the straw and the stubble, which Tosafot explains that which is cut with the grain itself is called the Tevin, and that which stays on the ground, that's called the Kash. So the sharecropper doesn't just share the produce, he also shares the actual, the straw and the stubble too. So to Kishem Shechelkim B'Yayin, just like they split the wine. So Kachelkim, so do they split as Kishem Tamid Beis, Bizmairis, with the vines that are cut off from the grapevine, which that's how you take up the grapes, those vines that they cut off are split between them two. And Ubakanim, which Igmar will explain what are sticks doing over here, is that the sticks that support the grapevines, which you have to put it to hang over, that those are also things that they split between the two of them. Now, Ushneim Misapkin Nesakonim. And both the owner and the sharecropper, they provide new sticks. They have to chip in, provide the new sticks for the grapevines every single year. Now, because the only things that, the work that only the Aris does, the sharecropper, he works and he protects the field. But everything else, expense-wise, which including this are the Konim, are shared equally by the owner and by the sharecropper. Now, as Rashi just points out, as we mentioned before, the end of the Mishnah, these halachas only apply to what we call kablanis, which is a term that's used for arisus. But the other type of what we're talking about of makabel sada, which is chachranis, where it's a set amount, there wouldn't apply these concepts of splitting it between him and the owner, because whatever produce, whatever comes out of the field, it goes totally to the sharecrop, and it goes totally to the chaycher, to the one that rented it, and he just gives a set amount unrelated to what came into the field to the owner. So these halachas of the end of the Mishnah would apply only to arisus, not to chachiras. So the Gemara brings Tanu Lenda Breis that elaborates on the halachas of our Mishnah. Malkam Shenogu Liktzer, if it's a place where the custom is to reap, in the Rishoy Laker, then you'll let it rip up, uproot that produce. Laker, in the Rishoy Laker, if the custom is to uproot, then you'll let it reap it. And each one, whether it be the owner or the renter, can stop the other one from deviating from the custom. As the Gemara explains, when it says in the Braisa, Liktzer in the Laker, if the custom is to reap, then the worker can't go ahead and uproot it, is because for example, the owner of the land, Amar, he could say, I don't want you to uproot it, which is not like the custom, which is rather to reap it. Why? Because Be'ina ditetavin li'aroi, I want that the straw should actually remain there in the field, which is the part which is still sticking in the ground, because I want it to be used to fertilize for the next planting season of the coming year. So therefore, he could stop him. Now, the same thing is the other way. Let's say the landowner wants to change from the custom, and he says, no, rip it out. So then, that Amar, actually, that then the Aris, he could actually say to the owner that no, loy metzina, I don't want to go through the effort. It's much easier just to reap it, just take the sickle and cut it, than to rip it out. So each one would have a reason why they wouldn't want to deviate from, if the custom is liktzer, not to do akira, and that could be either one. So to the other way, la'akar in rishol liktzer, the other halacha. Let's say the custom is that they would rip out in that country. So then, he's not allowed to go ahead and do katsira, which either one, if either one wants to do katsira and change, as the Gemara explains. Hayamar, the owner could say, no, I don't want you to change it from ripping out to reaping, because be'ina d'tinokar aroi, I want that my field should be clean. I don't need any fertilizer. I like when it's beautiful through the non-planting season. I want it to be nice, aesthetically pleasing. So I don't want you to change to reaping. I want everything out. So to the other way, Bahayama, the Kabun could say, if let's say the owner wants to say, no, go ahead and rip it out, and the Kabun could say, no, be'ina tivna. The owner wants to change it to katsira, he could say, no, that I need the straw for my animals, and I don't want to leave it in the ground. And since the custom is to do akira, I don't want you to change it and say, I shall only do katsira, I want to rip it out, because I want to go ahead and be able to give it to my animals to eat. Now, then the Braisa concluded, v'shnai ma'akvin ze al ze, that each one could go ahead and hold back the other one. That has the Gemara, lomali. Why did the Braisa have to say that? In other words, since we already said in the Braisa that both of them are not allowed to stop the other one from changing the custom, obviously that we could infer that sometimes one would want and the other one wouldn't, and the other times one would and the other one wouldn't. So then why did I need the Braisa to say, and both of them could stop each other? Of course, that's the idea that it's inherent in the first part of the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Ma tam kama. Actually, the Braisa is saying, what's the reason? In other words, matam liktzer in the sherlaka. What's the reason why, if the custom is to reap, that neither one could change to akira, or laka in the sherlaka, if the custom is to rip it out, that neither one could change it now to reaping? That's what the Braisa concludes. What's the reason? Mishum deshneim akven zalzeh, because each one could stop the other one. In other words, because since that both of them sometimes could have a claim either way, we could have one or the other wanting this way of the custom and not to change it, that's the reason why now, since that's the minig ha-makom, not the owner or the worker, could go ahead and change it. Now the Mishnah said, if the custom was lachrish acharav, so yachrish. If the custom was that after he finished the season, he has to plow it over so that the roots of the weeds could get uprooted so that it doesn't get reseeded again for the next season, he has to plow it. So the Gemara is pshita, it's obvious. We said it goes according to the custom. If that's the custom, that's the custom. Says the Gemara, Loi Tzrich, it's necessary, ba'asur d'loi menachshi. If that location, that locale, their custom was that they wouldn't weed out during the season the weeds. They would leave the weeds in over there. V'azal ihu benachish. Now, but now this worker, actually he went during the season when the produce was still attached to the ground, he went and he ripped out all the weeds. Now, it's just that at a later point in time, some weeds regrew a little bit there towards the end of the season. Now, ma'u detemu amalei, so you would think that the worker could tell the owner, look, hai de nechishna, this that I did weeding, that no one usually does, adait de delay kredivnala, was with the intention so that when the season is over, I want to be done, that I don't have to go ahead and plow over it another time. Because really, weeding takes the place of the plowing, which is after the reaping, because the whole point of that plowing is only to get rid of the weeds. And I did weeding during the season. Kamash Mulan, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that no, the Iboili, Lefrushale, he should have specified beforehand that that's what he's willing to do in his contract. Since he didn't, even though he went beyond the letter of the law and he went and did weeding, doesn't help since some weeds came back now. You got to go ahead and now do the plowing afterwards, which is the minig of the Medina. Moreover, the Mishnah said, Hakol kaminiga Medina, everything is like the custom of the country. So the Gemara says, Hakol aso yamai, what is everything? We already specified a few things that it's according to the custom. Regarding Ketzira versus Akira, regarding Harisha afterwards, what are we adding on by saying that everything is according to the minig of the Medina? So the Gemara says, Lasu yehod etan rabban, it includes this halacha that's mentioned in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Makam shenagu, so we see this is the minig ha-makam that's going to depend on, a place where their custom is lahaskar ilonis al gabi karka, to lease out the trees together with the grain field that he's leasing him. In other words, that the sharecropper will take a share in the fruits of the tree, even though he's not working the tree, because that doesn't need any work. The fruits come back every single year on the tree. This guy's just working the grain part of the field, which you have to reseed every single year. If that's the custom of the place which they lease it, then maskirin. In other words, then we assume that the tree is leased together with the rest of the field. And just like he takes a share in the produce that he's working and planting on, he takes a share in the fruit tree too. Now, makam she'ein nagel lahasker, if the custom is that's not the minig, when he leased him out the field to work on the grain, he doesn't get the share in the produce of the fruit of the fruit tree. So then ein maskirin, so then it's not leased out. Again, that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that everything is kaminig ha-medina, including to this halacha of the fruit tree. Now the Gemara asked on this Braisa, Malkam Shinogu Lahaske Maskirin. So the Braisa said, which our Gemara was saying that's what our Mishnah is including in the words of Hakol Kamenig Medina, the Braisa said that if the custom is that the tree is included in the lease, so then Maskirin then is included in the lease. So the Gemara is Peshit, it's pretty obvious. That's the Minigam Malkam, so why would we think otherwise? So the Gemara says, Loi, no, Tzrich, it's necessary in the following situation. The kule alma yavi betilsim. Everybody, when they give land to a sharecropper, is with the intention that the owner will take a third of the profits of the produce, and the sharecropper will take 2/3. V'ozel ihu v'yavi b'riva. Now, in this situation, the owner went and said, look, I'm only going to take a quarter of the profits, and the sharecropper, you'll be able to take 3/4, more than the regular sharecropper. Now, ma d'tema d'amalei, so you would think to say that now the owner could tell the sharecropper, look, haydi batzilav, this that I decided as an owner to take less than regular landowners, was a daita d'lo yehidne lach bilanis, was with the intention, of course, so that you won't take from the fruit trees. Because although the custom is that the sharecroppers do, why do you think I'm charging you less? So that you wouldn't take from the fruit trees. Kamash malan, that's the chiddush of the brisa, the yiboyle, lefrushale, like we said before. No, you have to specify. Although you went beyond and you went and you're taking less, fine, that's one thing. But that's unrelated to the other concept of the minig ha-makom, which is that he takes from the fruit trees, he could still take from the fruit trees. So too, the Gemara goes and discusses the other part of the brisa that said, makom shenagu sheloy lahaskir, if the custom of the place is that the fruit tree is not included in the lease of the land, so then emaskir, then it's assumed it's not included. So the Gemara's pshita, it's also pretty obvious. If that's the minig, that's the minig. So the Gemara says, lo yitzricha, similar to the previous Gemara's discussion, but in the reverse, the kule alma makabli b'riva, that in general, when a person goes and gives a piece of land to a sharecropper, the owner takes only a quarter of the produce. V'azel ihu v'kibla betilsa. Now in this situation, the sharecropper went and said, I'm giving to the owner not just a quarter, I'm going to give him 1/3 of the profits. I'm going to give him more than the regular owner. Now, so therefore, ma detema amalei, so you would think to say that the sharecropper could tell the owner, look, haide tefoilach, why do you think I'm paying you more than the regular landowner? Adaita de yahavis libelonis, with the intention, although the minig in this place is that the sharecropper doesn't get from the fruit trees, I'm paying you more, obviously, because my intention was that you'll give me the fruits of the fruit tree. Kamashalam, that's what the Bryce is teaching us. No, de boile lefushle, you should have specified that. So though you're paying more, it's not implicit, and therefore you're not going to get, since the minig amalkum of the fruit tree is not to get, you're not going to get from the fruits of the fruit tree. Now the Mishnah said, Keshem shecholkim betfua, just like the sharecrop and the owner share in the produce, kacholkim betevim b'kash, so too they share in the straw and the stubble. So Amr Rav Yosef, he says, however, but the bevel nehigu, although the Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael in the previous time period, in bevel the custom is d'lo yahavi tivna legru, so that they don't give the straw to the sharecropper. So the Gemara says, "L'may nafkamina, what halachic relevance does it have?" Says the Gemara, "D'iike inish diyav. If you find that there is a person that does give the straw to a sharecropper, that ayin yafo, it's just that he has a good eye. But if v'legimrinim, we don't learn from him to think that you have to, like the Mishnah says, but rather the custom in bevel is not to give the straw to the sharecropper." Another halacha from Amr Rav Yosef, he says that what normally what they would do around their fields, what that they would make a ditch and they would put earth on the boundary to elevate the area around it. Now, as time would go on, it would get stepped on, and therefore that ledge, that larger heightened area of earth would get stepped on. So they would add on more earth a second time, and then that would get stepped on too, and they would add it a third time. Now, that first time of the adding of the earth is called Bukhara, which is the term of Bukhara, the first one. Second one is called Tafta, from the word of Tfei, of adding more. And then the third one was called Arkavta, which means to ride on top, meaning it was the third one on top. So Rav Yosef says, Bukhara, this first mound of earth that was put as a wall around the ditch. And the Tafta, that which was the second mound that was added on after that. Arkavta, the third one was added on after that. And the Koni de Chizri, regarding these reeds which are stuck into the ground, which are used to weave in thorns in those reeds, or planks, which they are surround the perimeter of the field, that, says Rav Yosef, is the balabais. That's the responsibility of the homeowner, of the landowner, to pay for those expenses of these things in the field. Putting on this earth as the wall around it, and this wall of reeds. Now, but the chizr gufe, but the actual thorns which are weaved into those reeds which the homeowner or landowner has to put up, that is darisa, that's the responsibility of the sharecropper. What's the reason? Says the Gemara, kol de milsa, the general rule is, kol ikur balmo, whatever is the primary basic safeguarding of the field, which is, it wouldn't be possible to have a field without a basic wall around it, that's the balabais, that's the responsibility of the landowner. Netirusi se rasa, an extra level of protection, that's darisa. That's the responsibility of the sharecropper. He has to pay for those expenses. Because he's only doing it to make it easier for himself that he doesn't have to put in the effort of protecting it. Meaning without a basic wall, no one could protect. And therefore, the landowner has to pay for that. The sharecropper, who's only there to work the field, okay, you don't want to work so hard. You want to have an extra level of security. That's something that you got to pay for. Another halacha, Amar of Yosef, related to these halachas, he says, Mara, a hoe, Bezvila, a shovel, Bedavla, and a pail, which is used to water the field, Bezarnuka, and a flask, which is also used to fill up, meaning in a place where they use a flask and not a pitcher, says Rav Yosef, that's the balabais. These are basic things. These have to be paid for by the landowner. Arisa avid beyuuri. But whereas the shearcropper, he has to go ahead and pay for the expenses of creating ditches from the edge of the river until the edge of the field that he's working on, when you want to make this whole series of ditches, because when they would draw water from the river, it would then go into the ditches, and the ditches itself would take it to the edge of the field and would water it. Now again, as we said before, that's something extra. He can go ahead and draw the water himself. He wants to make it easy for himself. That's something that he has to pay for that. Now the Mishnah said, Kishem Shecholka Meyan, just like the sharecropper and the owner of the field share the profits of the wines, so Kacholka Mizmaris Bukanam, so do they share the profits of the vines that are cut off and of the sticks that are used, which the Gemara will explain right now. Kanamaya Vedatai, what do sticks, reeds, have to do with a vineyard? So Amri Debeir Biyani says, these are Kanam Hamuchlokim. These are reeds which the outer peel of the reed are taken off or smoothed off, that the white part of it. And the reason why they would have these sticks was Shabahen Mamid Nesagifanim, which these are the parts, these are the sticks that's what the whole network of the vines are hanging on. That's how they grow the grapes. That's why they have them, and then they have to have new ones every year. So therefore the old ones are split between the owner and the aras. And the Mishnah concluded, Vishne Mesapkin Nesakanim, and both the sharecropper and the owner have to provide these sticks. So the Gemara asks Lamali, why did the Mishnah have to say this? Since the halacha is that the Tanya of the Mishnah said that they both split these reeds, these sticks, obviously we can infer that they both have to provide the new ones. Because if one of them didn't give in the beginning, then why would he split it with the other one? So obviously they're providing both, and that's why they're splitting it. So why does the Mishnah have to then say that they both have to provide for it? So I think, well, you're right, ma tam kama, like we said before. It's coming to say, what's the reason? Ma tam shneim chalk mekanim, what's the reason that they split the reeds? In other words, by the produce, we know he owns it and he's working in it. But why the reeds? That's mishum shneim misak mesakanim. That's because since they both have to provide for it, so now when that's over, because you have to have new ones next year, then they split the old reeds, he takes half and he takes half. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of this parak of Hamakabel Sada Mechaver. If someone accepts to work someone else's field, again, either paying him a part of the profits or a set amount. Now, but moreover, says this Mishnah, Vehi Beis HaShlochen. And it's what's called a Beis HaShlochen, which it's a very dry land that's not enough to get its nourishment from rainwater. But rather, there's a spring, there's a well there in that field, and it's from that well that you have to go ahead and water the field. Or let's say it's a field that has a tree in it. Now, it's because of the tree that's in that field that he was willing to rent out from the owner was very dear on the sharecropper because, as we said before, if that's the minigam malkum, he's going to take a portion of the produce without having to work on it because the fruits come anyway. He's just working the other part of the field. So let's say Yavish Hamayin, let's say the spring actually dries up in regards to the Beis HaShlochen or in regards to the other Beis HaIlan, Beniktza HaIlan, the tree gets cut off. Says the Mishnah, so he doesn't diminish the amount he had made up that he accepted. Let's say he said that I'm going to rent this field from you. I'm going to pay you a certain amount of kur of produce per year. So he doesn't diminish from the amount that he has to pay him. Because originally when he rented the field, he didn't specify it's because of the spring or because of the tree that he's adding on more for his rental. Since he didn't say, so although that was one of his interests, but he still has to pay the certain amount that he had that he said he's going to rent the field for. But says the Mishnah, Im Omar Libet, if he told him, Chacharli Sod the Beis HaShlochen Zu, if he specified and he revealed his intention with the words that he used, he says, I want you to rent me this field that has the spring in it, which he's specifying it's because it's a Beis HaShlochen, that's why I'm adding on more, I'm going to rent it from you. Or, I Sod the Beis HaIlan Zeh, or he specified, I want to rent this field that has the tree in it, Then if Yabesh HaMa'ayin, B'nikzas Ilan, then in those two respective cases, if the spring dries up, or if the tree gets cut off, then Menakolei Menchachuri, then he could diminish from the amount of the rent that he's going to have to pay him, because that's part of the incentive, that part of the package, and that's not there anymore, he doesn't have to pay him the full amount that he had made up with him originally. Now the Gemara asked regarding this case of the Beis HaShlochen, Hechidami, what's the case Toban that we said that the river dried up? Elim the Yavish Nar Rabbah, if it's talking about that the great river, meaning the main river that everyone uses to water their fields from, if that main river dried up, so then Amai Inim Nakolei Min Chakur, then why did the Mishnah say, if you didn't specify that you cannot diminish from the amount of rent that you had made up with him, but Neimalei, but let the worker, let the renter say that Makas Medinahi, this is what's known as a global, as a countrywide plague, which the Mishnah tells us later on in the paragraph of Kofema Bays, that if some of this Makabla Sodom Mechaveri and then locust eat up, or wind, it gets wind blasted. So the Mishnah says over there, if it's a Makas Medina, if it's something that affected the whole country, then you are Menachem and Chakiris, as we'll see over there, that then you could diminish. So if it's the main river, which is obviously Makas Medina, and now the whole countryside, the main river got dried up, why can't he diminish the Chakiris? Amar Papi says, you're right, then it's Toma de Yavish Narizuta. It's Toma where only the small river dried up. In other words, there was a small canal that would draw the water from the main river to near the valley where their fields were, where he would water for it from. Where the Amalei, in that situation, as our Mishnah said, the landowner could tell the worker, you got to go ahead and bring it with a pitcher. In other words, it's not an excuse to say that you're going to pay less, again, since you didn't specify. It's not a Makas Medina. And the fact that the river dried up, that's only the river that takes it. Okay, so that's an extra benefit that you had, which you didn't specify, which makes it more convenient, easy. But you do have a source of water, and therefore you should be taking a pitcher to the main river, and you going ahead and schlepping it yourself now that those rivers that came from the large one to you, that dried up, that's not an excuse, and therefore he cannot be Menakoloi Minchacherusai.